You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we're going to be talking about building strong friendships. This is in our Parenting with Purpose segment, and Elder James Mvula will be joining us for this conversation. We're talking about friendship, especially as it pertains to young men. It's an important part of growing up, isn't it? But not all friendships are good for us. We all know that. Boys often face peer pressure, and they struggle to express their feelings, which makes it harder to build strong and meaningful connections, right? And so understanding what makes a friendship healthy and how to maintain it, that can make all the difference in personal growth and happiness. So as we said, Elder Mvula will be joining us for this conversation to help us understand key qualities of healthy friendships and how to identify toxic friendships and all of that good stuff. And so anyone out there raising a young man, if you are a young man or mentoring a young man, this conversation will be very useful for you. My Elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Elder. Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning. And it's an interesting conversation that we're having here. Let's maybe start off with simply recognizing and identifying the key qualities of a healthy friendship. What would those be?
First and foremost, thank you so much. Indeed, it's an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to be part of it this morning. Friendships are an integral aspect that as human beings, we are dimensional beings created basically in four dimensions. Mm-hmm. And we are to develop the four areas, one of them being the social area. Yeah, and that is where we find friendships. And most of the times, we are not intentional as to who we choose to be friends with. Oftentimes, we happen to be friends. I guess you would agree with me that there are many times when you've asked yourself a question, how am I friends with this person?
Yeah.
And you come to realize it was maybe just because you said hi in a shop or you are in the same classroom or something like that. So qualities to look for in healthy.
Hello, my Elder. All right, a network problem there. Not a whole lot that we can do about that. Hopefully, we'll be able to reconnect. We're working on reconnecting that, Pastor. My Elder Mvula, can you hear me? Elder Mvula, can you hear me? All right, it looks like there's an issue there, and we're not able to get through. Let's try that once again. We're just getting into the key qualities of a healthy friendship. What makes a healthy friendship? And of course, as you all know, you're welcome to engage with us as well. Share your own insights on the conversation. +27 7347 03520 is the number. Again, that's +27 7347 03520. Alternatively, you can speak to us. You can engage with us on our social media platforms, the SID Media, across all social media platforms. It seems like we're having some trouble connecting with our Elder in order to get into this conversation. So we are definitely going to need you all to chip in and let us know what you think of the conversation. How do you identify the qualities of a healthy friendship? Don't go away as we try and figure out this connection issue with our Elder. All right, let's see if we've got him back. Elder Mvula, are you there?
Hiccup with the network.
Yes, the network seems to be an issue.
Getting me now.
We can hear you. You're kind of breaking up, but we can hear you. So hopefully we'll be able to get through this conversation without incident. All right. So you were just speaking to us about the key qualities of healthy friendships.
Yeah, definitely. So I was saying a good friend is one who, one good example of identifying a good quality friend is when you have conversations with your friend. Mm-hmm. Are they tending to build both of you in some areas of your life, be it spiritually, be it physically, be it intellectually? Mm-hmm. There's that famous saying that small minds discuss people, big minds discuss ideas. Mm. That is kind of a bedrock from where we can start when we deal with quality friends. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to identify someone right there and then, because you'll be obviously highly prejudiced.
Sure.
But when you take time to interact, it reflects what kind of a friend that person is. So you're looking for a person who is going to grow you. And that is largely through the conversations that you have. And then secondly, you're looking for quality friends or good quality friendship in the areas where you find yourself most of the time. So for instance, if you are a strong spiritual person, you are more likely to find good quality friends at a spiritual place like the church. If you are a highly business-minded person, you are likely to find good quality friends, you know, at a business fame, at a networking event.
Sure.
And things like that. So those are some of the areas and qualities that you would want to look for in a good friend. Are they helping you build? Basically, it's about building. Mm-hmm. Are they helping you build the areas in your life that you want to be built in? Lastly, we are looking at boys largely, and obviously boys would be in the category of secondary school, junior or high school. Those also must be intentional, especially with finding friends who motivate them in their academic pursuits.
Right.
So you want to have friends who will be with you as you study, and they will help you in areas where you are not performing well as you help them in areas where they are not performing well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea of friendship is complementary, right? We need to, you have to have friends that complement you.
Yeah.
So they must understand your strengths as you interact and help you in your weaknesses as you understand their strengths and weaknesses and help them in their strengths and weaknesses.
I like that.
Basically, I would say so.
I like the idea of reciprocity. Sometimes we are very concerned about what other people can do for me. What can they do for me? But we don't really pay attention to what we too can do for them. So I really like that idea that I also must be able to help my friends as much as I want them to help me.
Definitely, yeah. Actually, that's one of the keys to successful friendships. It's when it's complementary, because when your friend realizes that you are just a taker, you just take from them and you never give, eventually they find no reason to continue, right? Because you will be more of a parasite. You're going to suck the life out of them, and they'll have nothing to give you, and then you will leave.
Yeah.
So you have to be a complementary friend.
So speaking of that, then how can boys identify and walk away from toxic friendships?
All right. So I love to start everything about relationships from a point of self-perception, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question that the first thing that you must ask is, when you are in a toxic friendship, who is toxic? Because at times we may be running away from toxic friendships when we are the ones who are toxic, and we just end up building more toxic friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the problem. So who is the toxic person in the friendship? Well, that's not hard to understand, to identify, because toxicity emanates from a person who is self-centered. Like I said, in the qualities of a good friend, what is bringing you together? Are you looking for something that will benefit you only?
Mm-hmm.
Then you always make decisions centered on you, irrespective of how the other person will feel. And the opposite is true with your opposite friend. So you can identify a toxic friend when always they are making decisions that benefit them but yet hurt you, and then they come always with the same silly excuse of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, I didn't know this, and yet it's a cycle repeatedly that you see in them. Like they are always trying to affect you at the expense of your happiness. So that's number one toxicity that you may see. The other thing that we cannot negate is the reality of peer pressure, especially in this day and age. And toxic friendships are not just something that will impact you negatively in the short term, right? We are also looking at long-term negative impact. So a toxic friend will always not be for your building. They will encourage you and push you to do things that are not productive for you.
Right.
One of the greatest challenges young people are facing today is the issue of sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
especially for the boys, because this is a main topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
Toxic friends are those who, when you gather around, practical example, of course, experiencing the boyhood life.
Yeah.
One challenge we have as boys is when we gather around and we're talking about ladies, we're looking at how many ladies have you slept with? And if you've slept with more than this one, then you are the better guy. You are the cool guy. And we think that is being cool. And really, reality speaking, that is toxic, because that is affecting your ability to interact and your perception of how you view a woman in your life. You may not see the effects now because you're a young boy, of course, not committed to life as much. But when you grow up and you come to this time when you really need to value your wife, you really need to value your spouse, you find that you have challenges because your mind has been integrated that being a man is sleeping around with many women.
Sure.
So that's a practical example of a toxic friendship. Guys that will push you, friends that will push you to that, are not helping you being productive. They're actually drawing you backwards.
Sure. And then what role would you say communication plays in strengthening friendships? I'm just going to
friendship?
I'm sorry, just to interrupt you. And I'm thinking about men. I'm not thinking of the greatest communicators in general. Generally speaking.
And that's the issue, right? Women, you're likely to speak, on average, you're likely to speak more words in a minute than men. And rightly so, because you're built that way. However, communication is the backbone of any working relationship, whatsoever it may be, because the only way you can know a friend, know the other person, is when you communicate. Now, the reason why we have challenges as men is we think so much we have objective thinking. We're not really subjective to emotions and feelings and everything else. So most of the times, objective conversations are very hard to start, especially if you do not know who your friend is or who the person is. So the first thing is, you need to create an environment where you understand each other so that you know what to bring, the saying, what to bring to the table. Because for lasting conversations, there has to be, you know, relatable experiences. There has to be practical discussions and conversations that you have to have with your friends, with your peers, in order for you to be able to communicate in the right manner. And the second thing is, you need to create spaces, right? Oftentimes this is why I say people are not intentional in forming friendships. When you are not intentional, your friendships will not have a substantial basis on which they are founded upon, because you don't really know what your friend is, why that friend.
Yeah.
What are they for? So you will not be deliberate even to form conversations. Your conversations will always be happenstance. You know, we've met, so let's talk. I mean, and you don't expect to talk constructively in that.
Yeah.
But if your friendship is intentional, I'm friends with John because he's good in math. Let's take, for instance, he's good in math. You're going to schedule times when you can meet with John and discuss about math. You're going to schedule time when you're going to meet with John and discuss about ABCD, because your friendship is centered on something. Of course, we cannot limit it to just a subject, right?
Of course.
But when you are intentional in your friendship, it emanates from that. There is a pulling factor that brings you together. And men tend to talk when they find something constructive to talk about. Right?
Okay.
And the reason is simple, because we are objective. Not that women talk even when they don't have something to talk about, and it's us, but most of the times women are more subjective, right? So any emotional trigger, they will begin to speak. A good example, a woman coming from work, they had a slight quarrel with their friends. She'll get back and will spend 30 minutes listening to a 5-minute a fight that she had. So it's highly subjective because it's on emotions, right? How could she do this to me? And ABCD. And then she'll narrate how the whole thing started, which is not connected to the actual event, come to the event and the conclusion. So they have a lot to talk about. Men are more objective. I'll go like, hey, I had a fight with my friend at work today, and the story ends. And she'll be like, what really happened? What led to that?
Yeah, yeah. We need the details.
Exactly.
What did he say? How did he sound? What was the tone? And what was his facial expression?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely. So that's a subjective objective concept. And for men, when we have a substantial objective discussion, oftentimes it gets to be slightly deeper than perceived. But all in all, communication is important. Let me close my thoughts on communication with this. The other thing is, as boys, we've not been raised up in an environment where communication is valued. So from the parent-child relationship, you'll find that it is more easier for parents to sit down and talk to girl children compared to the boy child.
Okay.
The boy child is often expected to find his way through life by himself, right? And this is why you notice even the home training, in the African context, a woman or a lady is oftentimes trained more and prepared more to face life than a boy child. So a lady will be trained on how to how to do the home chores, you know, how to take care of the household, which is their primary duty when they get into their own homes.
Mm.
But a boy will be let go, right? They'll not teach you how to spread your bed, for instance. It's like it's not a boy's job, you know.
Yeah.
They'll allow you to go about. They'll not care what time you come back home. My sisters have to come back home by 18 hours, but mom doesn't because I'm a boy.
Mm.
And so there are no those spaces of conversations with a boy child. So we grow up thinking life is a lonely road. I don't really have to speak much. Every time I hear dad speak, it's objective, direct things. James, have you done this? James, where is this? James, where is that? So I grow up thinking life for me is objective. It's A and A and A. There is nothing else like that. So parents must integrate intentional conversations with the young boys. Take them out on dinner, talk to them. Find out their aspirations. Find out who they are dating in life. Find out what their plans are aside from you know, the career aspect. Don't just say, what do you want to do in life? I want to be a doctor. I mean, life is not going to be spent in the hospital. How about the hours when you're outside the hospital? What do you do? What are your plans? And things like that, yeah.
That's very interesting. I think as you're speaking, I'm thinking to myself, there's for such a long time that has been the case that I think we've just framed it in our minds that men don't want to talk and that boys don't want to talk. And so because there seems to be so much silence and so much, you know, like you're saying, the objective, there's always something very direct that needs to be spoken about. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Our assumption then becomes, I guess that's just how men are. They don't want to talk. And so we just keep on, quote unquote, ignoring the boy child because it seems like he doesn't want to talk. And yet we maybe have not even prompted him to talk or to explore some of those feelings like you're talking about, to go a little bit further. If he gives you a one-word answer, ask a follow-up question. Don't just take it like, oh, he wants to be a doctor. Okay, stop. The conversation is over. No, you can still prompt the person to keep going.
Yeah, definitely.
Exploring more. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Now, another thing that young men, I think, struggle with, in fact, men young and old, the fear of appearing or feeling weak. You always want to look like you guys have it all together. You're fine. You don't need help. So how would you say boys can support each other through challenges without necessarily feeling like that reaching out for help is a weakness?
Very true. First and foremost, weakness is not a problem.
Okay.
So we are human beings are created to experience both sides of life, right?
Okay.
When I say both sides, there's a time when you have to be sad and there's a time when you have to be happy.
Yeah.
There's a time when you have to cry and there's a time when you're not supposed to cry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time you're supposed to be silent and there's a time when you're not supposed to be silent. You're supposed to speak. Those are variations of human existence that complement who we are as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And what is a problem is the extreme in both angles.
Okay.
So you want to talk when it is the time to speak, but you don't want to overspeak because you may end up saying the wrong things.
Right.
You want to be quiet when it's time to be quiet, but you don't want to be overly quiet and just observe things that need to be talked about passing by.
Mm.
So I believe that is the same idea even with weakness and strength. You want to be strong, but again, you don't want to be overly strong, so much so that you hide the fact that there is inherent in human nature weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. When I cry, it is a display of a weak emotion.
Okay.
And that weak emotion is pain. So the natural response of the pain emotion is to cry. And that is very normal and very acceptable, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, as men, we must understand displaying some forms of weakness is not wrong. What is wrong is the extreme in which those weaknesses are displayed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. if you look at a typical 70s, 80s, 90s men, are the ones that struggle more with the issue of you know, not being weak. I would beg to differ, but the current trends with children that are being raised now, especially with a lot of agendas, political and social agendas spread across in the world, men are being pushed more to display feminine characteristics, yeah. which oftentimes they appear to be weaklings.
Mm.
But a typical man raised, you know, in the 19th century, the 15th, 16th, the 70s, 80s, and 90s,
mm-hmm.
we were raised, let me give an example. Our heroes were Sylvester Stallone, Rambo.
Right.
Our heroes were Schwarzenegger, yeah. and Jean-Claude Van Damme. And those guys were macho men. They were strong. Yes.
Yeah.
There was no form of weakness. When the enemy beats you down, you have to stand up. Even if you are bleeding, you can't see clearly. You have to stand up and fight.
Mm.
And this is the cultural context all of us were raised in. Even in the African context, we had Shaka. These were guys, these were the big guys. And that's what it took to be a man.
Mm.
You would rarely find them crying. When they cry, the whole world will pounce on them and say, that is female, it's not manly.
Yeah.
That is a wrong concept. So what do we do then?
Yeah.
First of all, we must understand as men, it is important when we become friends, if I have a male friend, he must be able to understand that I am a person that can experience both sides of the spectrum. I can be happy and I can be sad.
Mm.
And I want to know, if I am sad, if I am in pain, are you man enough to lend me a shoulder?
Mm.
Because it takes a genuine man to help me in the times of my pain with my emotions, not just with my physical things, with my emotions. It's manly to help your fellow man with his emotions to pull through an experience, and not just support with finances and all those things. Lending a shoulder is being manly.
Mm.
As a Christian, our best example is Jesus Christ, right? He's like our pattern, the great pattern man.
Mm-hmm.
And in John 11, verse 45, which is the shortest Bible verse you will find, the Bible says Jesus wept. Now, again, why did he cry? So he goes to a funeral house. Lazarus is dead. Mary and Martha are there. People are crying. And they're telling him, if you had been here, you could have healed him. The family was going through an emotional breakdown.
Yeah.
And what Christ did, he didn't only offer words of encouragement, which he did. He told Martha, there is a resurrection. Lazarus will be resurrected. Of course, he spoke in the immediate context and also in the future hope of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from the words and the encouragement, he understood the family needed an emotional help, emotional pillar. They needed to understand that I can sympathize and empathize. I can be in their shoes. I can cry too when it's painful. And so he weeps.
Mm.
And he sets an example for us men right there,
yeah.
that when the situation is hard, brothers, lend each other's shoulders and weep.
Mm.
There is no problem.
Mm.
Experience each other's pain. Be sympathetic with one another, because that is what builds you. Once the story of the phoenix, right? From the ashes, the phoenix bird rises.
Mm.
When you experience pain and you are in tune with your emotions during the pain, of course, not too long. It has to be regulated. But when you experience your emotions in the process of the pain, you rise up like a phoenix bird, a changed person.
Mm.
You're going to view life differently. You're going to view yourself as a man differently. And that burden that the society places on is kind of like lifted up. And we can be expressive of our emotions, of course, in the context of not being too much on the either side.
Powerful, powerful. As we close, my elder, how would you say social media and technology play a part in impacting our real life friendships?
Well, if there is a time when friendships have been destroyed more than ever, it is our time. You see, everything that we've spoken about today needs real one-on-one, face-to-face contact for it to work. What social media has done is, now there is nothing wrong with social media. Of course, it has created easier, accessible ways. I mean, I am here talking to you right now because of social media,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But then it has really impacted our perception of true friendships. A person who is heavily involved with Facebook, for instance, judges their friendships based on the number of friends they have on Facebook, and they can have 5,000 like I do and yet communicate to less than 10 of them on a daily basis.
Hey.
So you think you have friends when you really don't have friends. You have a list of people's names on your phone, but you don't have friends.
Hey.
They don't really know what you're going through. They see your life from afar, but they don't really know you. It's the same thing with WhatsApp. I mean, I'll judge the number of my friends on the people who view my status. So if I have 100 people viewing my status, I'm like, oh, these are people who are concerned with my life. When I know of someone who presses on the status button and goes about doing their own thing and the statuses just keep on rolling so that they appear like they see people's statuses.
Hey.
What you have, again, is a list of people's names on your phone and not your friends. So social media is not the best platform to build friendships. It can be a good platform to start a friendship, but not to build a friendship. Building friendships requires interaction. You need to meet. You need to know the person by face. You know, when you engage the five senses in communicating with a person, you establish a stronger bond with them. You need to touch them, know how their hand feels like, give them the handshake. See them in their eyes. Talk to them face to face. Know their facial expressions when they are saying certain things. Know how they react when they are angry and all those things. So social media is a good platform to start friendships. And in the long run, yes, to communicate here and there, but it is not the best platform for building long-term friendships.
Very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Elder Fakanda Drew. Very interesting conversation that this has been. And hopefully all the young men out there have been able to be blessed by the conversation and the insights that you've shared with regards to building healthy friendships. Family, if you have anything that you'd like to add to the conversation, you're welcome to do that on +27734703520. But Elder Mvula, thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
Amen.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.